Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? It's good to see you. I'm so thankful that you are here. I want to welcome all of you that are tuning in online. I really, really appreciate you being a part of this church family. I would imagine that on a day like today, all right, it is raining, the wind is blowing, Floridians think it's cold outside, like we don't know what to do with ourselves. And so for all of you that came into the building today, I just want to say, way to go, give you a special shout out. You did it. Give it up for the person right next to you. Way to go. Way to go. Thanks for being a part of this. I'm going to assume that there's probably an increased attendance at church online, and I just want to welcome you in and thank you for also being a part of this service. Come on, give it up for them. Thank you for being a part. We appreciate it. Days like today do a couple things, and the first thing I want to do is I just want to give a very, very special shout out to all of our setup teams, our parking teams. I call you guys the Navy SEALs of our serve team, and I really deeply appreciate your serve on days like today. These are the ones wearing the yellow shirt. Some of them do, in fact, wear our green, but would you just give it up, a special love, yeah, to our party. You guys are amazing, and we love you and appreciate what you do. It's really awesome. Mornings like these remind me of that morning that the couple, husband and wife, they woke up. It was Sunday morning. It's rainy and cold outside. And the wife, she gets out of the bed early, and she starts to stir and get ready. And then she eventually nudges her husband. She says, come on now, let's go, get up. It's time to go to church. We got to get ready. And he just kind of, I don't really want to go today. I don't really feel like it. I'd rather just stay home. She said, come on, honey, you know that we can't do that. You know we can't do that. Let's go. Let's get out of the bed. And he said, come on, babe, just let me lay here. It's rainy. And it's cold and it's windy. I just prefer to just stay in the bed. She said, honey, come on. Come on, we got to get out and get going. Get up and get ready. And he just continues to press. He's like, babe, come on. I washed the car yesterday. It's sitting in the garage. It's nice and clean. I don't want to get this thing dirty. Please just let me sleep. She said, babe, it's about time that you get up out of the bed. Let's go. It's time to go. And he said, all right, fine. Give me one reason. Just give me one reason to get out of this bed and go to the church. And she said, baby, because you're the pastor. Now let's go. Let's go. Come on. All right. Amen. That's good. Hey, before we get into the message today, that was funny, wasn't it? Before we get into the message today, I want to just make a couple of really quick announcements, if I may. As you know, we are in a season, or maybe you know, I would say if you call Church on the Rock your home, you know. If you're a guest, you'll learn today that we're in a season of 21 days of prayer and fasting, which means we forego some things that we enjoy, that we like, some delicacies. Maybe it's food altogether or certain types of food or foods at certain points. It might be social media, TV, whatever it might be for you. It might be all of the above, but we are in a season of prayer, and I just want to communicate how powerful it has been so far. And we do this with a lot of strategy and a lot of purpose and a lot of intention, because we just like to start our year by putting God first and putting ourselves on the back burner. Like that's the way we prefer to start our year. And so here's what I want to communicate, and something that I'm really proud to announce is that in our prayer services, which by the way happen, okay, they're happening Monday through Saturday. Don't show up tonight, all right? This is our prayer service right here, everybody, okay? This is it. But on Monday through Saturday, they've been happening from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and I'm excited to announce this, that we have had record attendance in prayer services this year. It's been unbelievable. The turnout has been phenomenal. Really, really has. But can I just be real with you? Like, can I just be like a real person and talk to you a little bit? Because I want to encourage us to press in, because here's what happens year over year over year in these seasons. We always start strong. Always. It'll start really strong, and people like, yes, I'm doing this. And it's just like most New Year's resolutions, great intentions, really good start, and then it'll start to taper down and taper off. And I want to encourage us to lean in to these prayer services. And I recognize it doesn't fit everybody's schedule. I recognize that you can't make it every day, or you can't make it at all because of work schedule, whatever. We do stream them online and archive them for 24 hours until the next one starts. So you can always catch the service later. But I wanted to just kind of show you. Can I just show you what I'm talking about? Here we go. You ready? I'm going to just give you some numbers. Monday night, which was our first night of prayer, so day two, but first night where we're hosting a service, we had 92 people show up for that prayer service, and it was powerful. 90, that was a record. And then on Tuesday night, we had 96 people show up. It was a new record. And then on Wednesday night, I'm going to shout out every COTR student and youth in this church. We had 107 people here on Wednesday night. It was amazing. We just continued to grow. And that special shout out is to our youth because they really made our numbers. I felt amazing. They had full-blown youth during our prayer service. They were a part of our prayer service. They went next door, had something for themselves, came back over, re-engaged in the prayer. It was phenomenal and amazing. And then watch what happens. And then the next night, 71. And then the next night, 55. And then the next night, 52. And so here's what I'm doing. I'm just being real with you, and I'm just challenging you, church. I'm challenging you. Would you, all right, if you're able, if it fits your schedule, would you be willing to press in? It's week two. Come on, right? It's day eight today right here. And I'm encouraging you, would you press in with us and call on God? Here's the thing. We've had well over 100 prayer cards. We've been calling on God to do miracles in people's lives, healings from cancer. People need financial breakthrough. People need to be freed from bondages and addictions and mental illnesses, things that we've been praying for, and restorations of families and friendships and sons to parents and things like that. These are the type of things we're praying for. And here's what I know is that you have needs too. And I'm just encouraging you to come get in an atmosphere where prayer is going on. It's electric. It is powerful. We have people that wear prayer lanyards that lanyard gives you the permission to interrupt them no matter what they're doing and say, hey, I need prayer. Would you please pray for me about this? And I've watched people huddle together in groups and lay hands on one another and call on God. And all I'm doing is encouraging you. This is not a guilt trip. I'm just saying, listen, if you need something from God this year, lean in with us. Be a part of these prayer services. Come in person if you can. And if not, catch these things online. Don't miss them. God wants to move in you. Amen, church? I just believe it. I believe this is a year. We're going to see things like we've never seen before. And I'm really, really excited about it. Okay. In my little announcement, little video announcement, you guys heard it, so come and show up if you would on January the 30th. We're gonna feed you, pour out some vision. We're gonna go take a tour of the high school and all that kind of stuff. But I said in the video that I announced the dates of our opening. I announced that Monday night. So if you were here, how many of you guys were with me Monday night and you heard, you know, when we are transitioning and expanding into the high school? Okay, so I always like to give insider information to people that show up to prayer. That's my favorite thing to do. I like to give them things that people don't get on a Sunday. But I'm going to catch everybody up and I'm going to let you know what our dates are looking like. So our expansion plan is this. You ready for it? You ready for it? All right. I mean, if you weren't, I could skip right past it. I just hit the screen. It moves right on. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Let's do it. All right. So here's our expansion plan. We are going to have a soft opening on March the 27th at St. Augustine High School. Here's what that means is that us as a family, we're going to go over there and we're going to have our first church services ever expanded in the high school. So this whole building, this whole campus that we are currently in will be all kids that day, and then everybody else is going to be next door. And again, on the 30th, I'm going to tell you how that works, the vision, the details, and we'll unpack more and more and more as we go. But that's what we're going to call our soft opening, meaning it's just us. So anybody that shows up, any guests that attend, great, we're going. But we're going to spend 3 weeks, and here's how I've been kind of communicating it internally, is we're going to practice with live ammunition, okay? So it's on. It's real. It's how we are doing church, but we're going to be over there learning some things. And we're probably going to figure out like, oh man, like we thought this was going to work and we're going to have to modify. Or you know what? We learned something here that we're going to need to improve or change or whatever. And this is going to give us the opportunity to make that feel like home to us because it's like it's new to us too. Isn't that right, everybody? It's brand new. And so over those 3 weeks, we're just going to have services and we're going to learn about what we need to do better to serve our kids here, what we need to do better to serve you there, how the traffic flow is going to, all that stuff. We're just going to kind of spend 3 weeks. And then while that's going on, we're going to be heavily advertising to our entire community, big time advertisement to the community. And we're going to invite them to our grand opening on Easter Sunday, April the 17th. That is going to be our big day. That's when we're just saying like, come on, everybody, we think we figured it out and hope that we have. And if we haven't, give us grace, but we're inviting anybody that wants to come. We're actually sending out things, and we're going to encourage you to invite people. We're going to give you resources and tools to help you invite people, and we're going to bring as many people into that Easter Sunday as we possibly can, because we exist for a purpose, everybody. Come on, to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus. Amen? 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 All right. Amen. So that's my little announcement, and then I'm going to get into today's message. Questions that you may have about that, January 30th, 12:30, right here. I'll see you there, okay? Sound good? Yeah. All right, listen, before I get into the message, I'm a big-time football fan. Love football, and I particularly love the NFL. I am faithfully committed to one of the worst franchises in all of football, and it's painful, and it's horrible. I know. Some people feel my pain. Come on. But I just see some Buffalo Bills fans in the room. I just want to congratulate you guys on a record-setting night last night. That was amazing. As a Miami Dolphins fan, it's hard for me to love you, but I dislike the Patriots even more. Way to go. Way to go. All right. All right, that's it. Thanks for letting me have my fun. Congratulations to the Bills Mafia that's in the room and tuning in online. I actually have you guys picked to lose the Super Bowl. Sorry, but that's my pick. I think you're going all the way, and it's going to be dangerous. But anyway, I won't tell you who I think is going to win. Here we go. Let's get started today. I want to take you to this verse that we've been starting this series off with, that we've been in all of January so far. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 38. A question's being posed to Jesus, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And then Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And then notice what he says. This is first. This is the first and most important thing you can do. And so we've called this series First Priority. Now, to get into today's message, I want to give you a little bit of the behind-the-scenes thinking that takes place in my mind, if that's okay with you. Because leading up to January, you know, late last year, so while everybody's like celebrating Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that stuff, in my mind, I've already crossed the boundary. I'm in the new year, and I'm trying to think, all right, God, where are we going in the next year and the next quarter and the next 6 months, and you know, all these, like, God, where are you trying to take us? And so I had this idea that was, I feel God inspired in my heart for a series in January. And what I was going to call this series was First Things First. That's what I was going to call it. And we were actually going to host our prayer services really early in the morning instead of in the evening, like 6 a.m., 6:30 a.m., something like that, like real early. Which for some of you, like, it's just like you groan on the inside, like, what is wrong with you, right? Others of you would be like, that'd be awesome, because I'm just like, I'm an early bird, and I mean, I could come into prayer and then head into work or whatever. So for all the people that it benefits to have our prayer services in the evening, it's a disservice to others, because just simply because of schedules. And so if we were to move them in the mornings, it would serve certain people and not others. You get it. Like it's hard to please or serve everybody the same way. And so I had this mindset that, man, maybe we'll call this series First Things First. We always start our year with prayer and fasting. We start our week with church. What if we started our mornings with prayer? And this was my idea. And ultimately, again, just letting you in sort of behind the scenes of the way the conversations happen and decisions are made. I'm a collaborative leader. I don't like to just hand out dictatorship and like, this is my decision, everybody go make it happen. I like to really invite my staff and my team into the decision-making process. And hey, here's what I'm thinking and why. What are you thinking and why? Because I believe God put them there, amen? And so for me, sometimes I hear from God by listening to them. And so we talked about it. And I said, well, what do you guys think? And ultimately, here's what we decided. Again, I'm just behind the scenes talk. We decided, look, a lot of change is coming soon for our church, a lot. As we expand and all the things that are going on, let's leave a staple. We've always had 6 p.m. prayer services during fasting. Let's just leave a staple, because a lot of change is coming. Let's don't shake up more than we need to. That was great. I think this is a good idea. Well, then I then decided, well, then now my title doesn't make sense. Because it's not the first thing, right? I mean, unless you're working the night shift, like it didn't really make a lot of sense. And so I just began to pray that out. And then I altered it into this idea, First Priority. Okay, well then that got me thinking more, like on my own time. And I began to think to myself, well, like, am I messing something up in my personal life? Like, okay, because maybe, like, should God be the first thing in my day? Like, wake up time with God. Should he be? And that was the question I was beginning to ask, which, by the way, for me, almost most of, like, for sure most of the time, for me, I'm a morning person. It is the first thing that I do, but not always, actually. And then I begin to think, well, is that wrong? Like, am I off? Is it, like, what should I alter? And I know people that have strong convictions about if God's the first in your life, he should be the first in your day. I thought, well, maybe they're onto something, and maybe I need to grow. And so I just got into the Word, and I was like, I want to know. And I began to study a little bit. And here, so I'm going to tell you my big idea out front, and then I'm going to just back it up and support it. Is that okay? Oftentimes, I just build to my point. Today, I'm going to give you my point, and I'm going to show you how I got there. I know people that feel very strongly that, like, God should be the first thing in your day. It sets the tone and all this kind of stuff. And then I know people that believe differently. Well, like, I don't know. I'm not a morning person. I hate mornings. I would rather, like, I'm alert and awake at night. And so I do my time with God at night, and it's better for me. And I just thought, well, gosh, is one right and one's wrong? And here's my answer. No. One is not right and the other wrong. They're both right. And I'm going to make a case today. Okay? And listen, just to let you know where we're going, like, I feel like today's message is really super simple, but I actually think it could be really super helpful, and that's why I'm bringing it. So for me, I like to be practical, and I like to do what some of you have heard the saying, put the cookies on the bottom shelf. You know what I mean? That way everybody can get one. Come on, anybody heard that before? But since we're fasting, and probably a lot of you are Daniel fasting, I'm going to put the hummus on the bottom shelf for you today, all right? So everybody can get you some, okay? So here's where I got to, that it's not about mornings, evenings, afternoons. Here's what it's about. It's just about time. Time. Because I actually believe that God doesn't have to be the first thing you do in your day for him to be the first priority of your life. But I actually believe that he could be the first thing you do in your day and be the first priority of your life. And I just want to show you some scripture to reinforce that. You ready? So I'm going to take you, I'm not going to give you a lot of context for these verses. The stories I'm going to kind of allude to are not the point. It's the verse within the story that's the point, okay? So I'm going to just show you a couple verses. Here we have Jesus very early in the morning. There it is. I had conviction right away. I was like, maybe they're right. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and he went to a solitary place where he prayed. So we see Jesus did it in the morning. I also saw an example where Jesus prayed all night long. I was like, well, that's interesting. I also noticed that King David, I think David was a morning person. I really do. After digging into this a little bit, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and I wait expectantly. So we see David rising early, and the first thing he's doing is he's getting before the Lord. Another example from David, let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. That's a powerful statement right there. Again, King David, morning person. How many of you in the room, you're morning people? You're like, that's me. Coffee, first thing. Okay, good, very good. All right. How many of you are not morning people in the room? All right, excellent. I think that's great because before I was a parent of three children, before I worked a full-time day job, when I was like a student and I was single, my time with God was at nighttime, not the morning time. I meant like when I woke up in the morning, I had just exactly enough minutes to get ready and out the door on time. And if one thing went wrong, I was late. Come on, where y'all at? All right, no margin. It didn't exist in the morning for me. It existed in the evening. I think about some of my friends that are major morning people, and they're up at like 4:30 a.m. There's two of those, but there's two. There's one in the afternoon, and not many of us knew there's a 4:30 in the morning too. And they're up then. They're up. And they're like in the Bible and they're reading. I would be falling right back asleep, right into the centerfold of my Bible at 4. That's early, y'all. That's real early. And I know people that do that. But then I thought of like my neighbor, who's retired, and I don't know if he wakes up before 11 a.m. ever, because he spent his whole career working in hospitals at night. And when I see him, he's like, I'm just used to it. I actually just like it. So while I'm sleeping, he's up half the night doing whatever it is that he does. And then he wakes up around 11 or so, and then his day starts. And I thought, well, what about him? Like, if what about him? If he starts following Jesus, and I'm praying for it, if he starts following Jesus, what, like, when is his time going to be? Is it 11 a.m.? Should it be 7 a.m.? Will it be 12:30 a.m.? Because he's up and he's alert. I don't know. So to help you guys out that are not morning people, I brought some other verses. When the sun had set, now again, no context given. I'm just going to give you the verse. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. And this is a time when God was moving in the life of Abraham in an outward and powerful way at night. He's meeting Abraham there. Another example, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God, and suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? And I want you to recognize that when it's like bedtime, they're going to sleep, and the Lord is speaking to his servant, Samuel, Samuel. And he's calling out, yes, what is it? And trying to figure out whose voice it is that he's hearing. And then finally, New Testament example in Acts, around midnight, Paul and Silas were playing and singing hymns to God. Now, they've been thrown in jail. They're like that good of Christians. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all can relate, right? And so, and the other prisoners were listening, and suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. And what we see is the power of God moving both in the morning and in the evening, in the daytime and in the nighttime. And so my case is this, that it is not about when, it's just about time. That we actually need to have time spent with our Heavenly Father, those of us that follow Christ Jesus. Let me say it this way. It's absolutely imperative that we have time with God beyond a Sunday morning. I'm gonna just say some really truthful things to you really fast, okay? If you're depending on my sermons to carry your spirituality, you're going to fail. It isn't enough. That's not a self-deprecating statement. I'm not trying to be humble. I'm being real with you. It isn't enough. Because the relationship that you have with God is personal. It is you and him. It is not you through the mediation of Pastor Josh to him. It is you and him. I'm just a brother in Christ that gets to help, that gets to invest, that gets to pour in. That's what every life group that you attend, that's what they are. They're just brothers and sisters that are helping, that are investing, that are pouring in, that are there for you. That the people that love you, that are, when sort of the stuff hits the fan in your life, they're the ones that you're gonna turn to. But your relationship with Jesus is up to you to cultivate and invest in. And what I don't want us to do as a church, as we head into a new year and we call on God for new beginnings and new things, as we set to see some improvement in 2022 as opposed to every other prior year of our lives, what I want to make sure that we don't do is fall into a sense of any kind of legalism, that if you're not doing it my way, you're doing it the wrong way. That isn't true. It's not about my time, it's just about time. And here's further proof. Okay, all right. And what I'm about to talk about is quiet time. Y'all remember that? Yep. How many of y'all remember quiet time? Let's bring quiet time back. You know what I'm saying? Some of you guys are like, I didn't know it left. Maybe for you it didn't. But for some people it did. And let's bring quiet time back. But the Bible says that the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearances, but the Lord is looking at our hearts. Where's your heart? It's not about when, it's just about time. Some quiet time. A time where we just sort of push away the distractions. We get away from the TV. We get away from the noise. Maybe because you are married and you have kids at home and they're young and it's maybe a little noisy and chaotic. Maybe the home is not even the best place for you. Maybe you get up early because they're not up yet. Or maybe you stay up late because they're asleep now. Or maybe it's in your vehicle as you're taking your 45-minute trip to the office or to the job site. Maybe it's lunch break. Maybe it's just the end of the day, but when you've left work and you've not seen the family yet and you just need a space where things are quiet. Let me tell you something, church, it's just about time. We have to have the time and spend it with our Heavenly Father. And so I'm going to give you two things to write down if you're a note taker. And the first one is this. I'm going to encourage you to find the time. Find it. I believe that our calendars reflect what we value. They reflect what we value. If it matters to me, it would be on my calendar. It would be on my to-do list. It would be a part of my day, whether it's morning, midday, evening, late night. It's just about time. The key is that we have to find the time. Amen, everybody? I'm going to give you a verse that I feel like I almost overuse, but I love it so much. I can't help it. The Bible says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but of wise, making the best use of time. How many of you mismanage time? I do. Come on. So what we're going to do is we're going to find time. Meaning, I might actually just need to pause, call a timeout. I might need to make time just to find time. I might actually have to just do a little review of my calendar, my week, my schedule, my pace, and just say, okay, God, where is your time going to be? And find it. And maybe on a Tuesday it's this time, and on a Thursday it's a different time because of your schedule or because of your pace. Like, again, it's not about when, it's about time. You with me, everybody? Let's make the best use of time, because our time in the presence of our God is irreplaceable. Nothing is more important than spending time with our Heavenly Father. Okay, we're almost done. The second thought that I want to give you is this. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to find time. And then the second one, and I think this is the most perhaps important one, is we're going to honor the time. Yeah. Yeah. Don't let your time with God this year be like the resolution you don't keep. Make it the commitment. Make it the priority. Make it, can I use some Bible words? Holy. And that means set apart. Different. Honor that time. Okay, God, this is the time that I'm going to spend with you. I found it, and now I'm going to honor it. I love what Jesus said in Matthew 6. He said, when you pray, he didn't say if, he didn't say if you can get around to it. It's not really optional here. If you read all of Matthew chapter 6, you're going to see that there are some pretty heavy staple things that Jesus expects Christ's followers to do, two of which are fasting and prayer. And he says, when you fast and when you pray, he says, go into your room and close the door. Here, quiet time. Get away from the noise. Man, get where it's you and him. And pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It's powerful. It's powerful. Amen. So I want to end with an illustration, if I may. So I'm going to grab these stools from over here. Years ago, I was in a life group meeting, basically, is what it would have been. Now, I'm just a kid. It was my parents that were in this group. And we were meeting in someone's home. And so let's see. Let me get my obsessive compulsiveness worked out before we start here. And so I'm just this kid. I don't know. I'm going to say I'm 11, 12 years old, probably in my age, something like that. And we were a part of what our church would call a life group. I don't know what we called it in that church I grew up in. It was probably home group or cell group. How many of y'all remember that? Small group. It's all the same. Our language here is life group. We want them to bring life to you and give you life. And so that's why we call it that. But that's what we were doing. So here's my parents. And can I just go back to my 11-year-old mind for a moment? All the old people are inside talking about Jesus. And me and my friends are running around in the yard playing tag and stuff. You know what I mean? It was dark outside. It's manhunt. You know what I mean? Manhunt is a way cooler way of saying hide and seek. And so we're playing manhunt. And so anyway, this particular night, I remember I was really, really sick. I had like some real severe congestion, and so I was coughing a lot, and you know how you get. You get that sort of pain in your throat, and I just remember being real sick. But of course, I still do it today. I don't like to slow down. I was running and chasing and doing all this stuff, having fun. I was just playing hard, but I was my cough and cough, cough. It was pretty cold outside. I do remember that. And I was coughing a lot or whatever. And so my mom, just being the, you know, just amazing and faithful follower of Christ that she is, she kind of walked outside at one point and like, Josh, come here. So she calls me in. And so she said, hey, I want you to come inside. I want us to pray for you. You know, because I was sick. And I'm like, well, okay, all right. So I go inside, you know, and honestly wasn't all that disappointed to do it. I was, yeah, that's fine, okay. So I go inside, and they sat me just in a chair in the living room, all right? So I want you to imagine that I'm just sitting in a chair, like an individual person's chair, like would be in a living room. And people just started to gather around, and they just begin to pray. And so we are of the belief that the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So people, I got hands everywhere, all over me. And so this one particular lady, who I knew, was kneeling down in front of me praying. And she had her hand stretched toward me and it was on my chest. This is one of three times in my life I've been supernaturally healed by God. It's happened three times. And so I'm sitting in this chair, and people are just praying, like any Christian people would do. Any church, any Christians, pray for them. And so I remember her hand on my chest, and I just remember sitting there, and they're praying. And I remember I begin to breathe really deep. I'm trying to find congestion, and it is not there. It's like gone. And I remember being like, this is crazy. So this would have been the first time I'd ever experienced this kind of power. And I try to make myself cough. I'm trying to, like, I was just outside running around coughing my head off, and I can't, like, I don't even have congestion. My throat doesn't hurt like this. And like, I want you to imagine, I'm like 11, 12. I'm like, this is crazy. This is the stuff the preacher talks about. Wow. and it's amazing to me. I'm amazed by this. And so, my attention is captivated. Like I'm leaned in now. And so this lady, her husband was one of my teachers. So I knew them pretty well. In a real small Christian school, you know, that kind of thing. So I knew her pretty well. We attended church together, all that stuff. And so she says, Josh, the Lord has given me a word for you. Well, I can tell you, I'm listening now. Like I have experienced something. I'm way tuned in. And she said, Josh, it might be best if I just look right here. She said, Josh, the Lord wants me to tell you that he misses you. And each day, he is waiting to meet with you. And he wants you to come. Now, in my unimaginative 11-year-old mind, I saw two stools in a room. Worst backdrop you could ever imagine. Everything was white. It looked like an insane asylum in there. I mean, there's no creativity at all, except there's two stools sitting in a room. And sitting on one of those stools was Jesus. In the best imagery of him I could depict in my mind, there was Jesus, and he was sitting in a stool, and this stool was mine, and it was empty. And he had his hands folded and his head down, just like this. And it seemed to me that he was just a little disappointed. Not like he was angry. Not like you know better. It wasn't like that at all. It was more like, I wish you were here. I'd like to talk to you. Listen to you. It was as if I could hear Jesus saying, I like you. And I'd love for you to join me. And this might sound crazy and silly to some of you, but this might be really touching some other people's lives. But here's what I'm challenging us in 2022 as a church, is just to take our place on the other stool and meet with Jesus every day. Because I don't think that Jesus says, you ought to be here. You really should be here. If you want to be a good Christian, you get on that stool and you sit here. I think that Jesus is saying to you, I really like you. I would love to talk to you. I'd love to listen to you. I would love to just be with you. And I just want to invite you to take your place on the stool. So my challenge, Church on the Rock, to every single one of us is this. It's about time. It's just about time. There's not a right time or wrong time. There's just a time. And I just believe that you and I can figure that out. And not only can we find the time, I believe that we have it within us, a self-discipline, a commitment, a resolution, a determination that will honor that time. That Jesus, I'll do everything in my power not to leave you on a stool alone. I'll take my place and I'll join you because I like you too. And I would love to talk to you and I would love to hear from you. Okay, as we close, I'm gonna finish with this verse and then we're gonna pray. I just believe there might be people in this room that you never knew Jesus wanted to invite you to be with him. You never knew. You just thought church was about religion and doing right things and not doing wrong things or whatever. And I don't know why you're here. I don't know why you're listening to this message. But whatever the reason, I believe with all of my heart that God did this. God brought you into this moment for this exact purpose. And that is to invite you. I believe he's saying, I would love for you to sit with me. I like you. And I want to get to know you. And here's the verse. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, watch this, the right time is now. This is the right time. Today is the day of salvation. And with every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around, what I would like to do is invite some people in this room, streaming this online, listening to a podcast of this later, watching this playback from YouTube at some other point in time, that somehow God brought you to this moment for this message. This is your moment. Today is the day of salvation. This is the right time. What I want to do is just invite you to invite Jesus into your heart. The only thing I'm going to ask you to do today is repeat a prayer after me. I believe this is very important and this is your moment. And so, church family, you know how we do it? I always ask everybody in the room to say this prayer out loud with me. I want you to be able to just proclaim it because we're here to support you and help you. This is your moment. So we're going to help you as you proclaim this prayer out loud. This is the right time for you. This is your day of salvation. And here's the prayer. I want you to repeat it. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen." Come on, let's give those who made that decision a round of applause. Congratulations, congratulations. Hey, stick around just one more minute. We have just a couple things for you.